Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. This week, we'll be talking about NVDA, the free screen reader, and some of the tools that one of its co-developers, Jamie Tay, has been developing to make Sonar, the audio production an editing program, usable with NVDA.
Find out how you can acquire these tools, use the tools, and maybe even, if you're interested, help out in future development of more of these tools. At this point, we normally have a tip of the week, but this week it's a news item instead of a tip. We are very excited to announce that we were just awarded the 2012 IAAIS Program of the Year Award in the Consumer Information category. How cool is that? And if you don't know what the IAAIS is, that's the International Association of Audio Information Services. They represent over 140 services throughout the United States and in Canada, the United Kingdom, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, and South Africa. In particular, the show that won the award for us was number 1242, about downloading and reading books on a smartphone, and we demonstrated and talked about apps that include Read2Go from Bookshare, Overdrive from the public library, and the Learning Ally app.
So if you're listening to one of the IAAIS services, or you're one of the program managers, send us a note at hosts@eyesonsuccess.net to let us know who you are, and that way we can say hello to your listeners, and we might even be persuaded to develop a custom promo for your weekly airing of this show.
Now, that wasn't our normal breaker tune. If you've been listening to this show, you'll know that. That was a tune called Cruel to Be Kind that was written, performed, and produced by Jamie Tay using the tools that he'll be talking about in this show. But first, let's meet him. Can you start by introducing yourself?
I'm Jamie Tay. I am totally blind. Actually, no sight at all, not even light perception. I am one of the two lead developers on the NVDA screen reader for Windows. And I'm also doing a few other things on the side because, you know, I just have to find a whole lot of extra stuff to do in my very limited spare time. And one of those projects is the NVDA Sonar project.
Can you describe the cause of your blindness?
I was born with retinoblastoma, which is essentially cancer of the retinas, and it was discovered, I think, at about 3 months, and then my eyes were removed around 6 and 7 months. Both my eyes were removed because it was very extreme. So now I have artificial eyes.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
As promised, for this week's focus topic, we'll be talking about using NVDA, or non-visual desktop access, with Sonar, a very powerful music production tool, and Jamie will describe both for us.
Most of our listeners probably know what NVDA is. Can you just give a 30-second summary, the high level of what NVDA is?
It stands for Non-Visual Desktop Access. It's a free open source screen reader for Windows. So essentially an alternative to the rather expensive screen readers out there. But it does most of what they do, to be honest, for the majority of users. So we think it's really important that everyone should have that kind of access without having to pay huge amounts of money. And that's why NVDA exists.
Well, I must say it's quite a good screen reader these days, and it's come a long way. It is at, I would say, at parity with many of the commercially available screen readers.
Yeah, it's certainly come in leaps and bounds.
We interviewed Mick Curran for a previous show, number 1250, and he told us the story of how you guys started NVDA. I'm wondering if you, well, I don't know if you've listened to it, but if you have a different rendition of how it got started.
I guess I'm sure I don't really have too much to add to Mick's comments. People often joke that we share a brain, except that he's the one that started it and I'm the one that came on board just afterwards. So I guess it's fair to say that, you know, he was the creator, but I sort of got involved very early and have been, you know, a very big influence in shaping the project. And yeah, we have a really great working relationship and a friendship as well. They're very close friends.
And how many years has this been going on now?
Well, NVDA started back in 2006, April, I think, is when the first line of code was written. I got involved around July, I believe. So I guess that makes it going on 7 years.
Well, congratulations.
We set up this interview to talk a little bit about NVDA and a little bit about yourself. But there were a number of people that were interested in some of the work you were doing to make Sonar, the audio production program and editing program, accessible with NVDA. Can you talk a little about that? Tell us what Sonar is first for people who don't know.
Maybe you should tell people what Sonar is since you're recording with it. Sonar is what we like to call a digital audio workstation, which in short means a program that's used to record, I guess, complex audio projects. So rather than just a single, you know, stereo track of audio, which you might get from any recorder, it allows you to record many tracks of audio and layer them on top of each other. And you can also do effects. You can mix those tracks so you can change their levels. You can, you know, move clips around like you could with any sound editor. So I guess it's just a fairly complex audio editor. It's designed largely for use in creating music as well, which is obviously quite complex.
Right. You would find this in production studios and the like.
Yes, you would. It's sort of, I guess, I mean, a lot of people probably know the name Pro Tools. I guess you could say it's, you know, an alternative to Pro Tools. It's a competitor for Pro Tools.
So I assume you're not mastering records and performing tasks like that, but you must be into music then.
I am the keyboardist for a little duo that I have with a friend of mine just in our spare time, called Nth Degree. And we actually write and record music just in my little home studio here. So I guess that's where I started to develop all of my interest in audio production and the like. So I do all of the post-production and mixing and recording and all of that fun stuff in Sonar.
Does Nth Degree have a web presence so people can find your music?
Yeah, I mean, here comes a shameless plug. If you go to Nth Degree, so it's Nth Degree of music.com, you can find our stuff there, and all of our music is freely available at this stage. So, yeah, please do go and have a listen if you're interested. It's sort of, the style is, I guess you'd probably say, melodic or progressive rock.
Not surprisingly, Jamie developed a very nice website for their music, and that's where we got the clips that we're using as breaker tunes on this show. But those were only two of the tunes, and there are quite a few more tunes available on their website.
So I take it you enjoy playing music when you're not programming new features into NVDA. Has this been a hobby for a long time?
Oh, yes. I've been playing piano since about 1993, so I think since I was about 8 years old. So quite a long time, I guess. I'm classically trained up to about grade 8 piano. After that point, I stopped enjoying the exams, so I stopped doing them. But I've still tried to keep it up where I can, although I don't practice anywhere near as much as I should.
And do you perform out?
Not much, although my first major performance was actually only a few weeks ago. I played piano for a one-woman cabaret at the Adelaide Fringe Festival, which is a fairly big, fringe festival for the arts in Australia. That was a really great experience. It was 9 shows, and I got to perform in front of my first paying audience, which was great.
Oh, what fun. Well, could open up a new career.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that there will be some future possibilities. Yeah, I really am hoping for that.
So getting back to music production again, I guess one of the issues with dealing with these sophisticated programs is how to use them with a screen reader. And sometimes they work better with some screen readers out of the box than others. And sometimes a little bit of work has to be done to modify the function of the screen reader to work with these programs. So people would also know your name from perhaps working with the scripts to use the JAWS screen reader with Sonar years ago. Can you tell a little bit about that and if you're still involved in that?
So before both Mick and I started working on MVDA, we were quite heavily involved in the JAWS scripting scene. We were quite famous for the JAWS scripts for Adobe Audition. People still email us from time to time asking whether there have been any updates. But I got heavily involved in the JAWS scripts for Sonar, now known as JSonar. And I guess I wrote quite a bit of the code, of the core code in those scripts, over several years. I can't exactly remember how long, but I was involved for quite a while. I'm not these days because once I started working on MVDA, I sort of stopped, you know, using or being concerned with JAWS, and I are now, of one of the reasons that I wanted to move into writing support for MVDA, for Sonar, because I use Sonar myself and I wanted to be able to access it.
And that's a great segue into the work that you are doing to make Sonar accessible at NVDA. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about that project.
Well, I have been really gradually working on it over the last few years. In fact, if you look at the history of what I've put into the project, there are sometimes months and months where I don't get a chance to work on it. But essentially, I took all the knowledge that I had from working on JSonar and all the knowledge that I have from working on MVDA and combined them into some support for MVDA to work with Sonar. It's still a work in progress, and unfortunately at this stage it's a little tricky to install. Unless you happen to already have had JAWS and JSonar installed. You don't need to have those, by the way, but that the installer does a lot of the work for you, which makes it easier. To cut a long story short, you need to enable Sonar's accessibility support, which isn't trivial, and then install the JSonar control surface plugin, which also isn't trivial. But once you do get those installed, you do have access to a lot of the functionality that you need in Sonar. You can use your track view, and you can also use the event view, synth track view, all of those kind of views in Sonar that are most commonly used are accessible. And there are also some commands to access some of the hotspots in some of the effects as well. So a lot of the tasks you need to do can now be done. And I've recently added support for scrubbing and a few other things as well. So it's definitely work in progress, and it's at least initially, you'll need some technical knowledge to get it set up at this stage. Hopefully, we can solve that in the future.
So I've seen a lot of people on particularly the MIDI Mag list, which is a great resource for blind musicians to follow. I've seen a lot of discussion on there about installing these utilities. Is there documentation that one can follow that you can point people to or give people some hints as to how to get this installed?
So that's part of the problem. There isn't a huge amount of documentation out there, mostly just because I haven't had time to write it. And I guess at this stage, as much as I would love people to try it out, I really haven't had the time to devote to supporting or, you know, making it user-friendly, just because I'm sort of largely writing it for my own needs. But having said that, you know, it's something that I would like to try to work on. But certainly, if you've got some technical knowledge, I can provide some links to some documentation about, you know, how to get the Sonar Accessibility Registry stuff installed. And then if you know how to install COM server DLLs, I can certainly provide a link to the JSonar control surface. But providing step-by-step instructions is a little bit trickier. Look, it's certainly not an easy process at this point. I really hope that we can improve that.
So you have to be somewhat of a hacker or a programmer to get involved in this.
You don't have to be a programmer, but you have to know your way around, you know, some of the more technical aspects of Windows, like the command line and stuff like that. So you have to see technical stuff as a bit of a hobby, but you definitely don't have to be a programmer.
And as usual, we will have all of those links that Jamie was talking about in the show notes for this show. So you can find that on our website.
And let me point out at this point that, you know, often people are asking, how can I get involved? How can I help? And boy, I'm not a programmer. I don't know all the sophistications of Python and programming things to make NVDA work. But here's an ideal place you can help out. Jamie could probably use some help with someone putting together the documentation to make it easier for other people to use this work. So you might want to contact him offline and see if that's a possibility.
And later in the show, we'll be getting to other ways you might be able to help if you're so inclined, depending on your skills and your interests.
But there's always a way to help. You just have to figure out what your special forte is.
So now, Pete's blind, and I'm sighted, and of course he's the musician, so he's the one who actually uses Sonar, but for anybody who's not familiar with it, there are, in addition to a dozen pull-down menus, which I assume NVDA easily gives access to, there are also dozens of icons and other things on the screen. Can you access all of that?
Yeah, so the drop-down menus, as you say, all of the standard controls are all quite accessible without any work, really. But the content in the actual views, so for example, the track view, all of those bits and pieces, Sonar does provide access to those using this sort of really dodgy accessibility layer that they've implemented. But so a screen reader does still need to kind of understand how that works. It's not a standard accessibility technique, but you can get the information and use it to report it to the user. So you can move around a track and you can get its name and you can tell whether it's muted and what effects it has on it, whether it's set to record, which devices it's recording from, and all of that sort of stuff. So all of that is quite accessible.
So using this program, you are able to use Sonar with NVDA quite as well as you did with JSonar, it sounds like.
That's correct. So I've done my last few projects have been mixed entirely using NVDA and Sonar.
Now, this works with Sonar 8.5 or 8.5.3. Does any of this work apply to Sonar version X2, which is their newer version, or is that something that totally has to be redone?
Truth be told, I don't know. As many people on the that are sort of in the know regarding Sonar and accessibility would probably tell you, X1 and X2 really were a bit of a step backwards in some areas with relation to accessibility. I don't think JSonar supports X1 or X2, either. I could be out of date on that.
No, those scripts do not work with X1 or X2. The interface changed so much that the scripts do not support that.
I think it's fair to say that anyone who's blind and using Sonar is probably using 8.5.3 anyway.
Well, I think that is true. And to be fair, I mean, that's a totally functional system. So if it works, that's what counts.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that we can't say we support the new versions, but the reality is that Cakewalk, their accessibility support is always, I've got to give them credit where it's due. They've provided accessibility support, but it has always been somewhat lacking, and it often takes a long time for them to fix things. And it's very disappointing that they've broken a lot of stuff that used to work without considering the implications. I think that's very sad.
So considering this is mostly work for yourself to make your own workflow and your hobby workable, what other features are you looking to get in there yourself that you don't have now? Is there anything major lacking that you'd like to see or that you think you'll be working on?
I don't think there's that much that I personally want to see. A lot of my use cases are already implemented. That's not to say that it'll be perfect for everyone. There's certainly things that are on the list of things that people want me to do, and I'll certainly try to do those when I can. But for me personally, I can already use it to do everything I need to do.
You also talked about the ability to use hotspots. I know in JSonar, working in the Windows platform, we make use of the hotspot clicker utilities. What is the equivalent of that with NVDA?
There is no equivalent of HSC, but I did sort of put together this little bit of code that allows me to do quick hotspots for certain plugins, but it has to be done in code. It can't be done using sort of a nice friendly interface. So there is support for hotspots within the Sonar module, but adding them is not as trivial as it might be with HSC.
Right, so HSC running in Windows is mostly kind of a wizard-driven utility, whereas you're saying here you have to code this by hand, but it can be done.
That's correct. And there is actually a command in there to help you with that, but it's one of those things you have to understand the code to know what's going on.
NVDA is open source and free. I assume this support for Sonar that you're creating in NVDA is also open source?
That's correct. The source code is out there, just as JSonar is.
So if anybody wanted to contribute to the project, where would they start?
Well, if anyone wants to contribute or use the project, it'd be a good idea to join the NVDA Sonar users team on Launchpad, which is where NVDA Sonar is hosted.
Is there a URL for that where they would go to?
Well, the start page for all of this is launchpad.net/NVDA-Sonar. And from there, you can get access to the users team, and you can also get access to file bugs or feature requests or the like. Launchpad is a little bit confusing for some people initially, but it's you get used to it after a while.
Is that a revision control system, Launchpad?
Launchpad is kind of like SourceForge. it's a different interface, but it's the same kind of concept. It has revision control.
People can store their source code there, trade it back and forth, and distribute it to other people that way, I take it.
That's correct. And they also have support for teams of users, so you can create mailing lists and you can browse your code online and stuff like that using Launchpad.
So if other people want to contribute, they know where to go, and it sounds like you could certainly use a little bit of extra help there.
Oh, absolutely. There's certainly a lot to be done, and not enough time for me to do it all in.
You are involved in a lot. So one thing that's really great about this work is that it presents visually impaired folks who want to do music production with yet another option. So if you're using the free screen reader NVDA and you want an open source program to help you work with Sonar, you can use some of Jamie's tools. If you happen to have one of the commercial screen readers like JAWS and you want some free scripts that will make JAWS usable with Sonar, you can use the JSonar scripts that several of us have worked on through the years. And if you want to go all the way and buy a commercial package of scripts and a bundle that just works with JAWS, you can go to Dancing Dots and they'll sell you Cake Talking. And many musicians on the MIDI Mag lists use these various tools, and they all use different ones depending on their purposes and their budgets. So check some of those out. We'll have the links to those in our show notes as usual, but they're too long to put right here. So check it out.
And now for the next breaker, which is another tune that Jamie wrote and played and produced using Sonar with NVDA. Hey! Now for this week's high-tech segment, what's under the hood of what we've been talking about and some of the tools that Jamie has used to enable using Sonar with NVDA? What's the primary language you write in for this?
Like NVDA, it's all written in the Python programming language.
So for those that don't know, tell us a little bit about Python.
Python is, I guess, often incorrectly called a scripting language. It's an interpreted language. How do I describe Python? I guess one of the big differences between Python and other languages in terms of syntax is the fact that it doesn't use braces or end statements. So if you think about C, you've got, you know, braces to open and close blocks. In a JavaScript land, you've got endif, which closes an if block. In Python, it's all based on the indentation. So you'll be, you know, if something, colon, and then you indent that block of code, and you don't actually have to close it. It's just based on the indentation level. One of the great things about Python is it allows for very rapid development.
Well, I guess its rapidity is based on the fact that it's a command line interpreter, as I understand it, right? I mean, you don't compile the code in general. As you're writing, you get your errors or syntax errors.
That's true, although you usually code in a text editor, not a command line. So even to say it's command line, that's only one aspect of it. But I think the point is that, you know, there is no compilation, but also, you know, you don't have to worry about memory management or anything like that. And the standard library that comes with Python is quite rich in all the sort of general things you might need. So you don't have to worry too much about programming concepts. You know, it just all kind of works. And you've got lists and dictionaries, which are all, I guess, if you wanted to compare it to anything, it's probably closest to something like Perl. But the difference is, I guess, Python has a lot less syntax than Perl. Perl sort of has different signs for different variables and things like that, whereas Python just doesn't. For those that are interested in the technical terminology, you know, highly object-oriented language, it's strongly typed but dynamically typed, which basically means that you don't have to define the type of variable. You don't have to say int a equals 5, for example. But once you do say a equals 5, it knows it's an int. And if you try to add it to a string, for example, it's going to complain.
I'm just curious. Do you code mostly with speech output or Braille?
To be honest, mostly speech these days. I do have a Braille display, and it is often a pleasure to code in Braille. But I don't know. I'm just lazy. So I often just code in speech. I always have my punctuation set to all, even if I'm just reading a web page. So it's fairly easy to code in speech.
And what editor do you use when you're writing Python code?
Notepad++. I guess I'm going to call it an advanced text editor with some programmer's functionality. So it's not an integrated development environment like Eclipse or Visual Studio. It is still just an editor, but it does have things like the ability to jump to matching brackets and the ability to do auto indentation and stuff like that. So features, essentially the editor gets out of my way, but does help me to get my job done. I don't think it works that well with some screen readers because it uses a control called Scintilla, but NVDA has support for that editor.
What's Scintilla?
Scintilla is this little editable text control. So you know how you've got like rich edit and you've got edit and you've got different things like that. And it does have an API, but it's not the standard Windows edit API. So you do have to support it directly. If you want my honest opinion, I actually believe, even though I love Python to death and I don't want to stop coding in it ever, I actually believe you shouldn't learn with a dynamically typed language first. I think you should start with a constrained language. The thing what I'm trying to say is you need to get into the pattern of thinking that it's constrained, even though it isn't.
Yes.
Because if you don't, you get into a lot of really, really bad habits, and it just makes your code ugly.
You can make some big mistakes.
Well, not just mistakes, but it just makes your code unreadable if you don't follow those practices. And so it's like one of those old, you know, that statement where you basically say, you know, you have to know the rules to break them. And I think that really applies to dynamic typing.
Sort of like being classically trained on the piano and now you're playing rock.
Yeah, well, pretty much. Pretty much. It's not a bad comparison at all.
So you talked about not having a lot of documentation. Do you at least use a lot of comments in the code?
I've been known to write 6 lines of comments for 1 line of code. One of the things I've learned about myself is if I don't understand something when I write it, if I don't comment it, I'm going to come back in 6 months and go, why did I write that? Oh, I should probably change that. And then it'll break something. Whereas if I comment it explaining why I did it, then when I actually come back, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. So, the comments are for my benefit as much as anyone else's. Because I've got to come back and use. And, you know, some of the code that was written in NVDA, it was written 6 years ago. You know, a long time.
Right. You don't want to reinvent the wheel learning all that code and what it meant, right?
No, not at all.
As usual, if you missed any of the links we've given in the course of this show, they'll all be in the show notes, which you can find at our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net.
And we'll even put in links as to where you can download Python to try it out itself and some of the documentation.
That's it for show number 1324. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about home repair and woodworking with little or no vision. Many blind people avoid using power tools. Well, not all of them. Gil Johnson, author of The Vision-Aware Guide to Home Repair, will tell us how it's possible for a person with little or no vision to use power tools safely, and he will describe how that can be done to create fine woodworking projects and or do many common home repairs. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333 and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook at Eyes on Success and on Twitter at _EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.